Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if you're in the kingdom of God, you're in the Holy Spirit. And if you're in the Holy Spirit, you're in righteousness. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're right in the sight of God. And you got joy. And you got peace. Joy and peace. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How do we know we're in the kingdom of God? How do we know we're abiding in Him? Well, we got righteousness. With the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We got peace. We got peace no matter what's going on. And joy. See? And now, we stay in faith concerning that, and we'll stay in those three things. If we stay in faith concerning the Word of God, we will stay in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if we get out of those things, whose fault is it? It's our fault. See? So we take responsibility for where we're at. We take responsibility for our actions. And that'll cause us to come to God and get things right when we recognize there's something in me that's gone wrong. It's not in them. It's not in somebody else. You can't put it on somebody else. As long as you keep trying to put it on somebody else, you never get fixed, which means your problems never get fixed because you're the problem. Nobody likes to hear that, but I'm just trying to help you this morning. I'm not trying to hurt you. Trying to get you out of the pain. The pain of just going around the mountain and things aren't changing. That's painful. God doesn't want you in that painful place. He wants you in peace. He wants you in joy. So you get out of peace, you get out of joy. We know you got out of faith. No, I didn't say you had to get out of the marriage. I said you got out of faith. No, I didn't say you had to get out of that job and get away from those people. I said you got out of faith. See, that's where the problem is. So let's stop blaming it on the world around us. In Him, there's always peace. This is the kingdom you and I have received in Christ Jesus. We've come into His kingdom where Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And the whole purpose why God created you and I was to establish His kingdom here on the earth. That's why He made mankind. He made the earth and put man here to colonize the earth. Cause earth to be a colony or an outpost of heaven. That was the purpose for mankind. That was the purpose for the earth. We have to understand our purpose. Why are we here? But if we don't understand our purpose, then we're going to be out here wandering through life, which is where most people are. We have to understand that life is all about the kingdom of God. Or the kingdom of heaven. That's what life is all about. You are here to establish that kingdom on the earth. God didn't put you here. God didn't put man here to start a bunch of little kingdoms. And create a bunch of little kingdoms. You got your little world. You got your little kingdom. You got your kingdom. And God's trying to establish your kingdom. You're not here for God to establish your kingdom in this world. You're here to establish His kingdom in this world. And you see, if we don't get that right, then we start claiming all the promises of God for ourselves, that God wants to prosper me, God wants to heal me, God wants to bless me, God wants to increase me, God wants this, God wants to give me favor, God wants to do this for me, God wants to expand me, God wants to create me. It's all about expanding me, my kingdom. And that's where most folks are. Sadly, a lot of Christians are in that place, claiming the promises of God to expand themselves, expand their influence. But it's just the other way around. We're here to expand His kingdom, to expand His influence in the earth, for people to know him. So our prosperity, our success in life is all for his glory. It's all for his honor. Otherwise, there's selfishness. There's just selfishness. We're just over here asking and believing we receive for ourselves. He said, you're not going to receive because you ask amiss, that you might spend it on yourself. So everything's for him. So when you go to work, it's for him. When you get that paycheck, it's for him. Yeah. When you get nice things, it's for him. Let God be glorified in my life. Let me be increased so that I can be enlarged to do more for him. Let me increase in influence so that I can influence more people for him. Now, people will say that. They'll say, oh, yeah, you know, they want God to increase them that, you know, they might do more for him, but they're not doing anything for him now. So, you know, it starts where you are. We're looking to expand his kingdom now. We're looking to glorify him in the earth now, right where we're at. You don't need $1 million to do that. If we're not doing it now, you wouldn't do it with $1 million anyway. We'd probably see you less at church if you got $1 million. You'd be out on your boat or something. You'd be at your home in the mountains. Now I got to take care of my house, my cabin, or whatever it might be. Because that's what happens when people live with their purpose being selfish. But our purpose needs to be to glorify God, glorify him. That was the purpose God created man. And of course, man fell from that in the very beginning. Adam rebelled against God's purpose and sought to establish his own kingdom. He sought to take over the territory of the earth, to take it from God. And mankind, for the most part, has been doing that ever since. But Jesus came to take the territory of the earth back from the devil. And I'm so glad he did. And that is actually why he came. Jesus came to take the territory of the earth back from the devil's rule, to take the kingdom back for the glory of God, because that was the original purpose for the kingdom. And you see that here in Luke, the 4th chapter. Here's where Jesus went out in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And notice what the devil said to him here. In chapter 4, in verse 5, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority. See, this is what it's all about. God created man in the beginning, gave him dominion, gave him authority over the earth. And then Adam committed high treason, sold out to Satan. Satan became the god of this world. And so here he's telling Jesus, he says, all this authority I will give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. Who delivered it to him? Adam did. Adam delivered this authority to Satan. And notice, Satan is using this as a temptation to Jesus. This was a temptation. Jesus was tempted. Satan was not lying when he said that he had authority over the kingdoms of this world. He wasn't lying when he said that. What he was lying about is this next part. He says, in verse 7, therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. That's where he's lying. He's always lying. But he'll put a little truth in there with his lies. He would not have given it to Jesus. If Jesus bowed his knee in submission to Satan, Satan would have been his God, would have been his ruler. So therefore, anything that Jesus would have gotten, it would have been under the rulership of Satan. So yeah, Jesus could have been king of this world, but Satan would be his overlord. Satan would rule over him. So he would be Satan's king, ruling and governing the earth for Satan. And that's what Satan was seeking when he first tempted man. That's what he was seeking from Jesus that Jesus would forfeit what God had sent him to do, which was what? Take the kingdom back. Take the territories of the earth back. Take the rulership of the earth back from Satan and restore it to God. Restore the kingdoms of this world to the kingdom of God. That was the purpose for Adam being here. That was the purpose for Jesus' coming. And it's the very thing Satan is going after. He's like, now I know what you want. You want the kingdoms of this world. And actually, when you look up the word kingdoms there in the original Greek language, it could also be translated, and actually I believe more accurately translated, the kingdom. Or his kingdom. So we could say it this way, the devil took him up on a high mountain, showed him the kingdom of the world. Or showed him his kingdom in the world. He was showing Jesus his kingdom. And we see that right here. He turns around and says, all this authority has been given to me. In other words, this is my kingdom. I own this place. He wasn't lying. He did. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to get the kingdom back. So that was a reality. What Satan was saying was true. And then, look, notice what it says. He says, verse 6, and the devil said to him, all this authority. That word authority means power to rule. All this power to rule I will give to you, for it has been given to me. See, the devil is ruling this place. Demons are called the rulers of this world. They're the ones ruling this place. But that was not God's original intention for the planet. It was to be ruled by God through his kings. And so the very purpose for you being born again, the very purpose for the recreation of man, for we are recreated in Christ Jesus as new creations. We are new creations. The very purpose for that was so that you would rule God's kingdom here on the earth. That you would bring his influence, the culture of heaven, here to the earth and spread that among men. That's your purpose. That's your purpose. So we got to get out of the selfishness. We got to get out of our little world and realize we've been created to rule a kingdom. To rule over a kingdom. We've been created to run God's kingdom in this world. That's what we've been created for. We're to govern it after the heart of God. The earth is to be patterned after heaven. That's why he even told us to pray. Pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because that's how it was originally planned. That's what we were created for. God created all the stars and solar system and all these things. And then he looked over here and he looked at earth and he said, let's colonize that. Let's spread my government out. Let's increase my government. Let's increase my reign. And let's go ahead and let's inhabit the earth. Let's put people on the earth with my nature, with my likeness, who rule the earth after my own heart. Let's do that. That's exactly what God did. And that's why you're here. Whoo, hallelujah. See, you didn't just get born again so you can go to heaven. You got born again so you can get heaven on earth. See, we just think, you know, and again, see, we don't see the full picture. People think, well, you get born again so you go to heaven. No. You get born again to bring heaven to earth. Because that was the original plan for man, was to bring heaven to earth. And that was the plan when God recreated man through the new birth. So are we doing it? Yes, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be building God, busy about the Father's business of building his kingdom in the earth. So again, like I said, God didn't come to build you a kingdom. He came so you could build his kingdom. Because his kingdom is the only kind that works. His kingdom or his government is the only kind of government that works, because apart from him, there's no king like him. We become like him the more we submit to him. The more we submit to him, the more we submit to the word of God, the more we do become like him. But apart from him, there's nobody like him. So therefore, no other government works the way it's supposed to work. Again, God is in the government business. But his government is the only kind of government that works. Because a kingdom is only as good as its king. And what makes God's kingdom so great is that God is king. Jesus, he is God. And he is king. And because he's so great, the kingdom of God is great. Again, the kingdom's not going to be any better than the king that rules over it. And there's none like him. Apart from him, none are like him. And so if people try to establish governments and try to establish kingdoms, apart from him, they all fall apart. No matter even what kind of good intentions they have, it doesn't work the way it's supposed to work. And so God's kingdom works. It works flawlessly. It works perfectly. Because we got a flawless, spotless, perfect king ruling this kingdom. And so as we submit to him, as we submit to his word, we become more purified. We see that over in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. See, this is how God's kingdom works. God's kingdom is a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of love. So as we submit to God's word, submit to our king, his rule, his authority, the authority of his word. That's how we submit to him. We submit to his word. By submitting to his word, we're submitting to him, to his authority. As we do that, the Bible says we are being purified in our souls. All the things that are contrary to God, all the things that aren't like him, are getting flushed out. They're getting caught in the filter. See, God's word is like a big filter. Gets all the chlorine. See, you plug it in there. You can be connected, put God's word in there, and it just filters out all the impurities, all the chemicals, all the different things that are in this world that produce sin and death. All that gets caught in the filter of God's word. Thank God for his word. You get his word in you and you start recognizing, that wasn't good. That was a bad attitude. Say, without the filter of the word, we go, can you believe the way they treated me? They didn't do me right. They didn't do me right. That's without the filter. When you have the filter of God's word, then it's like, oh, I'm insecure. I'm not secure in my faith in God. Oh, I'm in the flesh. Oh, I'm into myself. Oh, that's pride. See, the word catches all those things. I said the word catches the word will show up pride. See, a lot of people walk around going, I don't have any problem with pride. And it's because they don't have a filter. So they don't recognize it when it's coming through. It just flows. See, I don't have a problem with backbiting. I don't have a problem with gossip. See, they don't even catch it. They think, that's just me. Oh, no. I'm just saying it like it is. I'm trying to help other people. See, because they don't have the filter of the word. See, you get the filter. It's getting quiet in here. You get the filter, and then it's catching stuff like crazy, which means you're catching it. And you're taking it captive. The filter's taking it captive, see. And you and the filter are one. You and the word are one. So you're taking these thoughts. You're taking these feelings. You're taking these attitudes. You're taking these actions, which are actually sin. In the world, they're very noble. thoughts and feelings. But according to the word, it's sin. See? So when you get filled with the word, you got this filtration system that just catches all this stuff. And then it's great when you catch it, because then you can, once you catch it, then you could dispose of it. And how do you dispose of it? You take responsibility for it and confess it. You confess it. You confess it. And you say, oh, man, that's backbiting. And it just gets flushed, right? What are you saying? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, I didn't plan on hitting all that today, but we started that way. We're back there again. You notice that? So the Lord's trying to show us something. There's a cleansing. There's a cleansing that goes on when we're confessing what's not right. But when we're excusing what's not right and we don't really see it as being wrong, then it just stays there. And it defiles everything that we do. It defiles our prayer life. It defiles our relationships. It defiles and keeps destroying everything about our life. Well, I don't want that. I want the filter. Now, a lot of folks run from the filter because they don't want to catch those things. They don't want to see those things because it's not nice. It's ugly. See, so people think, well, if I could just hide from it, then it'll just go away. No, it'll never go away. It'll just keep defiling your life, defiling your life, defiling your life. No, you got to allow it to. You got to allow it to be exposed. You got to allow it to come out into the light. And the Word of God puts light on all these things, shows it up so that we can get it right. Oh, hallelujah. Then when you get it right, you start finding out things go wrong a whole lot less. You just don't, you don't keep running into the same stuff once you get those issues straightened up, straightened out. Once you get those things straightened out, then you don't keep having the same issues. Isn't that wonderful? It's called being purified. Whoo, hallelujah, obeying the truth. Obeying the truth, obeying the word of God. It purifies you. It purifies you. And then love. Loving the brethren. Loving the brethren with a pure heart. Being sincere in your love. That's going to cause you to grow. That's going to cause you. Anything that's not of love, we deal with it. We get it cleaned out. We get it cleaned out. We're always checking our motives. God's word is discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word shows us our very motives. Because a lot of folks, they do good things, but their motives aren't good. They got selfish motives. You know? But the word of God will teach you to be able to recognize that. And you'll be able to see, oh, my motives aren't right here. What's motivating me to do the right thing is wrong. And then you can repent of it, get cleansed of it. And what's happening? You're becoming more like him. Which means you're becoming a better ruler. You're becoming more of the kind of ruler he created you to be in this life. A pure representative of him. Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. He wants to create that. He wants to do that same work in you and I. He wants to do that same work, the work of the Holy Spirit. He wants to do that same work in you and I so that we can say, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And it might not be, it might not start out in everything that way, but there's some things where it's like, no, that was the Father. See? See, Father, that was the Father. See, I yielded to the Father. That was the way the Father would do it. That's the way the Father would say it. That's the way Jesus would say it. That's the way Jesus would do it. See, I got that right. Now, sometimes, see, because of the impurities, you know, sometimes it's hit and miss when you're starting out walking with God. It's hit and miss. But just like Peter, it was that way, right? We saw that with Peter. One second, Jesus says to them, he says to his disciples, he says, who do men say that I am? Well, they're all coming up with ideas, of what different people think who he is. And then he says, well, who do you say that I am? And then Peter, by the Holy Spirit, said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That came right from the Father. That was the Father talking in you, Peter. Peter got to feeling so good about himself. A little while later, Jesus said something. Peter pulled him aside. No, Lord, that's not the way it's going to go. Peter rebuked him. I mean, after all, he hears from God now. You know, some people, they just get a little, a little praise Just a little praise, a little promotion. And next thing you know, they can't handle it very long before they fall. You know, you give them a little exaltation, and next thing you know, they're coming against the very people that just exalted them. Jesus exalted them, and now Peter's coming against them. And Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Talking to Peter. "Get behind me, Satan, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Now, this is the same day. In the same conversation. Jesus went from commending Peter to saying, "Blessed are you, Simon. Wow, you're hearing from God the Father. That's God working in you." To saying, "That's Satan working in you, boy. Get behind me, devil." See, but as we go on obeying and submitting and repenting and getting things right, we become pure and pure and pure so that we're hitting it. We're hitting it right, and there's less stumbling, less missing it, less getting off an error, less doing things that are contrary to God, against the heart of God. We're doing it right. Don't you want to hit it right? Yeah, that's what it's all about, and that's what God's looking for. He is looking to establish kingdom rulers who will rule and reign with him throughout all eternity. He's not just looking to get you to heaven. He wants you in heaven. But more than that, he wants you to be a kingdom ruler. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to purify your souls in obeying the truth. He wants you to exercise this love of God that's been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit. He wants you to take responsibility for yourself and let the filter of God's word cleanse you and wash you free of all guilt and condemnation. He wants to raise you up, build you up, make you a confident ruler in his kingdom. And the work he has begun in us is going to continue throughout all eternity. We're going to rule forever. And here on the earth, man, we have such an opportunity. Because when we get to heaven, we're not going to have the same kind of trials and tests and opportunities to be purified and to develop spiritually like we get right now. So, I mean, get excited about trials and tests. Get excited even when you see ugly things come out of you. The word shows it up and you see all this ugly insecurity and all this ugly unbelief and all this ugly selfishness. That's mine. Leave it alone. Get out of here. Get. You see all this ugliness. You see all this grumpiness. You see all this fleshiness. Get excited. Get excited that you get to see it. Amen. You get to see it and you get to deal with it. You get to be purified of it. You get to confess it for what it is and get cleaned up and get strengthened and get restored. Yeah, take advantage of those opportunities where you humble yourself and you go back in the room and say, "It's on me. I missed it. I repent. I'm sorry." And everything in your flesh is saying, "No, they made you do it. It's their fault. And besides that, they're going to think you're a wimp. If you go in there and you repent, they're going to think so little of you." And but you go in there and you humble yourself. And you put on that humility. And you rip out that pride. And you get cleansed of it. And you say, "Hey, I repent." And it's not, "I'm sorry. Do you see what you did?" It's just, "I'm sorry." You don't have to prove anything to anybody. You're not in the business of cleaning other people up. You're in the business of being purified yourself. He didn't say go out and purify everybody else with the truth. He said you purify yourself. And then the more pure you are, it's contagious. It spreads. You start giving other people a vision. There's another way. I saw that when I was in the martial arts. You know, there was this karate school I went to. But first I started out with I was getting private lessons from this guy, Tony Biscano. And Tony was like, to me, he was like Bruce Lee. I mean, he was amazing. The guy was like lightning fast, incredible, real flexible. I mean, he had gotten into some situations and he was able to get out of it, you know, real life situations. And I mean, I really looked up to this guy. And here I was, you know, I was going to high school. Actually, I started when I was 13 years old. And I started training under Tony. I'd go to his garage early in the morning on Sundays. And that was my church. And we'd work out, you know, we'd work out. And I did that in 17. I got a black belt and things. And then I started going over to this other school where there was all kinds of different teachers and different classes. And none of them were like Tony. But anyway, there was this one instructor. His name was Nick. And his class was just at a real convenient time, you know, for me to be able to go. So I got hooked up with him, got in his classes. You know, Nick, he understood the techniques. He understood the principles of self-defense. But when it came to actually performing, he was a little slow, a little roly-poly kind of guy. What happened was I met up with one of the students one night. I hadn't been in the class for a while. He said, yeah, we've been practicing knife moves, you know, self-defense against somebody pulls a knife on you. I said, oh, great. He said, you know, but the truth is, you know, if somebody pulls a knife on you, there's really nothing you can do. I mean, that's really the truth. I said, why do you say that? He said, well, because even Nick was getting stabbed. You know, with the fake knife, the rubber knife, he kept getting stabbed. I said, oh, no. No, you can get out of it. You can get, see, because I watched Tony. He taught me. And I pity the fool that pulls a knife on Tony. I pity the fool that pulls a gun on him. Because we acted some stuff out. You know, we went in a room and we pretended to pull a gun on some, you know, pull a gun out on somebody. And I kept pointing the gun at him saying, you get back in that corner. You get back in that corner. And he would go back in the corner. He goes, all right, we're acting this thing out. And I'm over here. And as soon as I turn like this, all of a sudden, this flying object was coming through the room and a foot gracefully landed under my arm in my rib cage and threw me up against the wall. I learned you can get out of anything. Gun, knife, if you got the technique and the skill. You can do it. Because I saw someone that could do it. He put a vision in me. You and I need to be putting vision in people. Come on, put in vision in people. That we can walk just like he walked. We can live clean, holy, righteous lives. We can exercise authority over the devil and not be victims in life. We're not going to be kicked around in life by the devil. We're going to rule over him. Amen. We're not going to sit here and wonder, why is this happening? Why is this happening? We're going to know why it's happening. We're going to go to the root of the problem. And we're going to cast it out. We're going to deal with it. And we're going to have victory. Victory after victory. Oh, yeah, we go through trials and tests, but we always triumph. And we always win. That's what he promised. That's how we live it. We don't settle for anything short of that. We don't settle for anything short of that. So that's what we're to be growing up to be, these kingdom rulers. But it's as we purify ourselves, it's as we become more and more like him, we're going to be able to be better rulers. Much better rulers as time goes on. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Notice, when the righteous are in authority. Remember, what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when the righteous, those that have the peace and joy of the Holy Spirit, are in authority, good things happen. People are set free. But when the wicked rule, people groan. People are miserable. Remember, Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So notice, we're seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. Because he's a righteous king. He's a righteous God. He's a righteous king. That's how he rules his kingdom, in righteousness. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 3 says, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me. This is King David talking. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. See, that's the only kind of government that works. It's a government that is submitted to God. It's a government that makes Jesus the Lord of it. And that's what the founding fathers of this country sought to do. They sought to cause this nation to be one nation under God. What made America such a strong superpower was not that it was a democracy. That wasn't the sole reason. It was because it was one nation under God. Because God was exalted. Righteousness was exalted. Now, things have changed a lot, but we're here. And we're here to change things. Change some things back and go even further. Is it possible? It's possible. We're here. We can affect big change in this world today. If we'll let God do a big change in us. If we'll let God do that great work on the inside of us of purifying us. And so he says, he who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Not in the fear of a god or a deity, some kind of false god. I mean, there's a lot of that going on in the governments of the world today. You got all kinds of nations, and their government is built on false gods. Or they actually make men out to be God. But we know who God is. It's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true God. And so if a government's going to work, then it must be submitted to God. The rulers must walk in the fear of God. He who rules over men must be just. That word just also translates righteous. Righteous, because that's how the kingdom of God works. It's by righteousness. Righteous. It also means righteous in government, in conduct and character. Fair. Honest. Man, there's such bold-faced liars out there in government these days. I mean bold-faced liars. They know they're lying. You know, some, I don't even know if they know they're lying anymore. They lie so much, they don't even know that they're lying. It's like I'm looking, I go, you know you're lying. I mean, you know what you're saying is not true. And yet, I mean, they act like they are as right as could be. I'm like, wow, very convincing. But he who rules over men must be honest, must be honest, must be fair. What's the opposite of that? Dishonest, unjust, deceptive. And that is what Satan's kingdom is all about. Over here in Colossians chapter 1, see, Jesus came and conquered the devil. Now it's just a matter of getting rulers to rise up and take the territory Jesus already legally took back. Take possession of the land that belongs to our king. He came and he conquered. Now we got to take possession of the territory he's conquered. Oh, hallelujah. The devil hates this message. What a reminder to him. He's defeated. He's been disarmed. We've been made more than conquerors. Now we just got to go in and just take it. Hallelujah. How do we take it? Talk it, speak it, live it, walk it, yield. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to his righteousness. Yield to his joy. Yield to his peace. Hallelujah. We got to yield to the Holy Spirit. As we do, we are feared by the devil. Oh, I'm telling you, the fear and dread of you will be upon all the demons of the land. When you fear God. When you fear God. That's exactly what happens. When we fear God, our enemies fear us. If you don't fear God, then the enemies won't fear you. But if you fear God, man, that puts you in a position to take everything back that the devil took from man in the beginning. And we can do it. Let's go do it. Yeah. Praise God. How is a little pep rally this morning? Yeah. Get yourself fired up. Get yourself ready. Yeah. Let's go out there and get it. Jesus took it. It's ours. The enemy was defeated. He's under our feet. No weapon formed against you will prosper. He's been disarmed. His weapons have blanks in them. They will not hurt you. He cannot take you out because no weapon formed against you will prosper. He's already been conquered. Stripped of all his authority. He's got no authority over you. He can't sit around and accuse you anymore. You can just rise up and speak the word of God. Walk in the truth. Walk in the light. And take possession of the land. Notice Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, he has delivered us. Talking about the Father. Our Father God. He has delivered us. Somebody say, he has done it. I sure wish he had delivered me. No, he already has. See, you got to rise up in the truth and walk in it. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Notice that. The kingdom of the Son of his love. Man, he's a loving king. I mean, there ain't no king like King Jesus. He's so good. He's so good. That's why he says, if we'll just get on board with him and follow him, get involved in putting his kingdom first, being kingdom minded, he said, I'll take care of everything, every need that you have. I will take care of it. Everything you want will be added unto you. All the things that you desire, all the things you have need of will be well supplied. Well supplied to you when you put the kingdom first, when you're growing in righteousness. Amen. Isn't that what he said? See, that's his love for his citizens. The citizens of the kingdom of God are all rulers. He makes all his citizens rulers. There's no like little peasants. There's no like inferior people. You know, like you got the elite and then you got the inferior. You see that in all these other governments. There's the upper class and then there's the low class. There's those that are inferior. They're the inferior people. They're inferior to all these elite people. It's not like that in the kingdom of God. He makes everybody a ruler. Everybody is a royal heir in the kingdom of God. Man, no other government has done that. Everybody has a fair share. So we can't blame anything on anybody else. Right? We can't blame our lack on somebody else. Well, it's because. Nah. Take responsibility for yourself and rise up, because if you had faith, you can overcome any circumstances, any condition, anything that anybody else has done to you. You can overcome it if you have faith in God. All his citizens have access to him. All of us can rule and reign in life as kings. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. So notice here it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Again, that word power translates authority or power to rule or government. He has delivered us from the government of darkness. He has delivered us from the rulership of darkness. Or we can say he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, the devil would like you to believe you're still in the kingdom of darkness. But you got to remind him, no, I've been delivered. Now, he'd like you to think you're still in the dark. He would like you to continue to believe that you're still in bondage to him or bondage to whatever kind of addiction or problem that you face in life. He would still like you to be on the defense, where you're always trying to protect yourself from the devil, get out from underneath some kind of problem, some kind of oppression. That's where the devil would like you to be. But you got to remind yourself, no, I've been delivered. Oh, God, deliver me. No, you're praying wrong. I've been delivered. Pray the word. Speak in line with God's word. I've been delivered. I've been delivered from the devil's rule over my life. I've been delivered, therefore, from all demonic oppression. I've been delivered from it. So therefore, I'm not going to submit to it. By believing, I'm still under it. People just submit to these things because they still believe they're under it. No, thank God we've been brought out from under it. I said, we've been brought out from under it, and he's raised us up. He's made us sit together with him in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and all might and dominion and every name that's named. Read about it in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. We've been raised up far above all these demons. Far above them. We're not under them anymore. Somebody shout, I've been delivered. How, see, you got to go through life like that, thinking with the right perspective. I've been delivered. Not going through life as victims trying to get delivered. You're not a victim trying to get delivered. I'm sick. No, you're not sick. You're healed. See? You're healed, but the devil's trying to convince you you're sick. I'm in bondage. No, the devil's trying to convince you you're in bondage, but you're free. You're free. So you got to speak back to the devil. Say, no, I've been delivered. I've been delivered. I've been set free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But notice, it's a kingdom, a government of darkness. We're talking about darkness. We're talking about deception, dishonest. It's the opposite of being just. It's the opposite of being righteous. Now, if somebody comes along and says, you know, hey, I've got this invitation for you to come and live on this island, and it's an island full of dishonesty and deception. It's an island of lies. How many people are going to say, yeah, that's where I want to live? I want to live on the island of lies and dishonesty and deception. Huh? Who would want to live there? No, you'd reject it immediately. Who would want to live on an island of dishonesty, an island of deception? An island that's not true. It's full of lies. It's fake. It's a bunch of fakeness. Everything's fake about it. Nobody would want to live on that island, right? But what happens if someone gave you a ticket to Fantasy Island? How many people would be so quick to reject that? No, that sounds exciting. That sounds pleasurable. We're going to go to Fantasy Island. How many remember that TV program years ago, Fantasy Island? What is a fantasy? Fantasy is living in make-believe. It's a likable lie. How's that for a definition of fantasy? It's a likable lie. It's the faculty or activity of imagining things. Imagining things. So, but when we think of this word fantasy, we think, well, that sounds kind of intriguing and exciting and da-da-da-da-da. And so, but yet it's living a lie. It's deception. It's dishonesty. It's not walking in the light. It's not walking in the truth. It's walking in darkness. And that's what the kingdom of darkness is all about. The devil doesn't come out and say, hey, I got lies for you. I got deception for you. He comes with fantasies. He comes with falsehood that is appealing, that would be likable, something that people would want. And that's what this fallen world is full of. It's full of deception, and that is our biggest fight while we're here in this world. Our fight is against lies. It's against darkness. It's against deception. If we can walk in the light, walk in truth, we will walk in liberty. We will walk in complete freedom. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. God's kingdom is a kingdom of light. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of deception. God's kingdom is a kingdom of truth. Satan's kingdom is all about dishonesty. God's kingdom is all about honesty. You know, you just look at the world. The things that get people excited are all things that, you know, just full of fantasy and make-believe. You know, people love the movies. The movies are a big deal to folks. People are addicted to the entertainment industry. I mean, and it's make-believe, make-believe, TV, movies, video games, people living in a realm that isn't reality. That's where most people are. People love karaoke singing, fantasy football. Actors pretend to be a certain character that they're not, and then the audiences play along with it wanting to believe, at least while they're watching the movie, that it's really happening. If you want to ruin a movie, go to the movie, sit down, and just sit there and go, they're all acting. Just look like a, he's just acting. It's not true. They really don't love each other. They're actors. This whole thing's an act. Just keep telling the people, this whole thing's an act. Shut up. Stop it. Quiet. You're ruining the movie. You're ruining the fantasy. You're ruining this lie that I'm trying to live for this next hour and a half. And people go from one lie to the next, to the one lie to the next. And lying and deception is what this world is full of. People are full of all kinds of facades, play acting, and they don't even know it. We're raised in a world to be fake. People don't even know themselves. They don't even know who they really are. But thank God when you get out of the kingdom of darkness and you get into the kingdom of the Son of God's love and you get over here in the Word of God, oh, hallelujah, you can begin to see. You can begin to find yourself. And where do you find yourself? In Him. You find yourself in Him. That's who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am delivered out of the power of darkness. I've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. That's who I am. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. See, we find ourselves in the Word of God because we've got the truth. And you'll know the truth. The truth about you. See, as you know Him, you get to know you. The Bible says in 1 John that when we see Him as He is, we're like Him. We'll be like Him. If we could see Him as He is, we are transformed into that same image by the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God transforms us. As we see Him, we become like Him. We become more pure. We become more clean. As we acknowledge what He's done and what He's doing in our life, that's exactly what we begin to live out in life. That begins to be reality. It is reality. It needs to be a living reality in our life. Hallelujah. Coming out of the darkness. Coming out of the darkness. Coming out of the deception. Coming out of the play acting. And getting real. The world walks around and says, be real. The real thing. You got to be the real. Get real. Friend, if you ain't got Jesus, you ain't got nothing real. You don't know anything about real. Real don't even start until you find Jesus. Because He's the real thing. I said He's the real thing. He's 100% real. 100% truth. And as we plug into Him, we're being purified of all deception, all lies, and we're becoming 100% true. And we'll close with this, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Talking about love. And that's the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of love. And notice what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. This is a good thing to get a hold of. Right? This is the filter. It's the Word. It's going to purify us. As we see Him in this Word, as He really is, we become like Him. We're being transformed into the same image. He's going on. He keeps talking about describing love. Then he comes down and he says in verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. When? When is then? When we get to heaven? No. When we get that revelation of God's love. As we grow in love, notice what he says, I shall know, verse 12, I shall know just as I also am known. I will know and I'll be known. I'll know and I'll be known. I'll be transparent. Nothing, no facades, nothing fake. You know the real deal. Just the real deal. And I'll know. And I'll be known. That's the work God's doing in you and I, making us righteous, just rulers in His kingdom. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Praise God. Come on, let's thank Him. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.